79%. I want you to just hold that number in your head for a second.
It is a massive number.
Right. Because, you know, you launch this massive marketing campaign, you secure the budget, you get all these clicks, and the dashboard is just absolutely glowing green with traffic.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves a green dashboard.
But then almost 8 out of 10 of those people never actually buy anything. You are essentially, I mean, you're pouring resources into a leaky bucket where 79% of all marketing leads just fail to convert into sales.
It is a staggering drop off. And, you know, it perfectly illustrates the central tension in so many businesses today.
Yeah, that disconnect.
Exactly. You have marketing teams looking at one set of numbers, usually those ones glowing green, and then leadership is looking at a completely different reality.
It's a really relatable struggle, honestly. Your marketing strategy looks fantastic on paper. The team is, you know, high-fiving over website traffic and email open rates.
Campaign is popping.
Right. But then you walk into the boardroom and the atmosphere completely changes. The CFO gives you this incredibly cold reception.
Because the CFO does not care about clicks.
No, they don't care about clicks or impressions or, like, social media engagement. They care about cash. They care about the bottom line.
And bridging that disconnect is basically our mission for this deep dive. We are exploring this practical guide. It's from Scopic Studios, called The Revenue Marketing Framework, Connecting Channels to Pipeline Outcomes.
That's a mouthful, but a good one.
Yeah. And the entire premise is figuring out how to close that massive, costly gap between marketing activities and closed revenue.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to really understand revenue marketing, we first have to understand what it's building on, right? Which is traditional demand generation.
Yes, exactly.
And demand generation is what, I mean, it's what most of us think of when we think of standard marketing campaigns.
That distinction is so crucial. Demand generation is heavily focused on, you know, building brand awareness, educating your target audience, and just getting them to raise their hand.
Getting them in the door.
Right. The goal is generating marketing qualified leads, or MQLs. So the core question driving a demand gen strategy is actually very straightforward. It's just, how many leads did we generate this month?
Which, honestly, seems like a totally reasonable question to ask a marketing team.
Yeah.
But then we hit that 79% failure rate you and I were just talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is where revenue marketing completely changes the question.
So it's not throwing out demand gen.
No, not at all. It doesn't replace demand gen. It builds on it. It connects those top of funnel channels directly to the sales pipeline. It basically holds marketing accountable to the exact same metric that the sales team is measured on, which is closed revenue.
So instead of asking how many leads did we get, revenue marketing asks how much actual revenue did those leads turn into?
Yes. And critically, which specific channels produced that revenue?
Okay, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it really requires a fundamental shift in how we view success. Because for decades, I mean, marketing teams have relied on activity metrics.
Oh, heavily. Website traffic, search rankings, ad impressions.
Right. But those are purely diagnostic, aren't they? They tell you if the engine is running and, like, if the tires have air.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
But they don't tell you if the car is actually driving toward the right destination. The ultimate business goal is revenue.
It is.
I was trying to wrap my head around this shift from activity to revenue earlier, and here is how I'm visualizing it. Tell me if this tracks.
Let's hear it.
Demand generation is essentially like setting up a blind date.
Okay.
You find two people, you introduce them, and you get them to sit down at the same restaurant.
Success.
Right. You generated the lead.
You did your job.
Right. But revenue marketing is actually tracking if they get married and buy a house together and, like, adopt a dog.
Oh.
You are following that relationship all the way to the ultimate commitment.
I love that. That analogy captures the accountability aspect perfectly because, you know, you aren't just dropping the prospect at the restaurant and washing your hands of the situation.
Right. Good luck, you two.
Yeah, exactly. And that is why this shift requires a completely new operational lens. Revenue marketing is not some shiny new channel.
It's not like a new TikTok strategy.
No, it's not a new social media platform you have to master. It is a framework for measuring your existing channels. So your SEO, your PPC ads, your email campaigns.
Measuring them differently.
Right. Measuring them as a connected chain of events rather than just isolated silos.
Well, if we are measuring these channels as a connected chain, I feel like that completely shatters how most teams run their day-to-day strategy.
It really does disrupt things.
Let's look at how this changes two notoriously misunderstood areas.
Mm.
SEO and PPC. Let's start with SEO.
Sure.
Usually we just measure search optimization by looking at traffic volume and keyword rankings. Like we rank number one, we get the traffic, we win. How does a revenue lens change that?
Well, it changes it by forcing you to map your content directly to search intent and then tracking it all the way to the pipeline.
What does that look like in practice?
So you might have a top-of-funnel educational blog post that brings in, say, thousands of readers.
Okay, big traffic driver.
Right. That content influences the pipeline by generating awareness. But then you have bottom-of-funnel content.
Like what?
Like a highly technical page comparing your software directly to your biggest competitor.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Now, that page might only get 100 visits, right? But it actually converts the pipeline into buyers. You have to tag and track those differently.
Because the goal is organic source revenue, not just hoarding eyeballs on a page.
Exactly. Eyeballs don't pay the bills.
I am stuck on the mechanics of that, though. Because SEO is, it's a notoriously long game.
Very long.
If someone reads that educational blog post in January, but they don't actually buy the software until, like, October, how on earth do you link those two events without losing your mind? By October, that January visit is ancient history.
That gap right there is exactly where so many marketing teams just give up. And they revert right back to activity metrics.
Because it's easier.
But you track this through what we call assisted conversions.
Okay, assisted conversions.
Think of it like an assist in basketball. The player who passes the ball gets credit, not just the player who scores the final points.
I like that.
And to execute this digitally, you don't need $1 million enterprise software suite. You just pair basic UTM tracking with your CRM.
UTMs, those are those little text tags you attach to the end of your URLs, right?
Yeah, those exact ones. You pair those with your customer relationship management system.
So the UTM and the CRM essentially act like a digital guest book.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
When the prospect walks into the store in January, they sign the guest book. And when they finally reach the cash register in October, the cashier can look back and see exactly which aisles they browsed 9 months ago.
Precisely. It preserves the memory of that first touch. So that January blog post gets the assist credit when the deal finally closes in October.
That makes so much sense.
Now, contrast that long game with PPC or pay-per-click advertising.
Oh, man. Pay-per-click seems like it should be the easiest thing in the world to track. You pay for a click, the person clicks, and you immediately see what they do.
It seems easy. It really does. But companies fall into a massive mathematical trap here by optimizing their ads for cost per lid, or CPL.
Wait, isn't lowering your cost per lid a good thing?
Not always. Let's say you are running ads on LinkedIn. You find one campaign generating leads for $40 each.
Okay.
But another campaign is generating leads for $200 each. The instinct is to shut down the expensive campaign and pour all your money into the $40 leads.
Well, yeah, because your dashboard says you're getting 5 times as many prospects for the exact same budget. Any rational person would do that.
Right, but what if those $40 leads are just, say, college students downloading your research for a term paper?
Oh, and none of them ever buy.
Exactly. You just wasted your entire budget. Meanwhile, those $200 leads, those are actual decision makers. And one of them closes a $50,000 deal. So a $40 lead that never closes is actually infinitely more expensive to the business than a $200 lead that does.
That is a tough pill to swallow for a lot of media buyers. So you have to stop optimizing for the cheapest click and push your metrics further down the funnel.
Yes.
You want to optimize for cost per opportunity or cost per acquisition. But how do you actually get an ad platform like Google or LinkedIn to understand that?
What do you mean?
Well, if Google only sees the initial click on their platform, how do they know what happens in my sales team's software 3 months later?
Ah, okay. You have to build a bridge between the two systems using offline conversion tracking.
Offline conversion tracking?
Right. Your CRM essentially sends a secure, encrypted signal back to Google via an API.
Oh, so they talk to each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When a deal closes in your system, the CRM pings Google and says, hey, that person who clicked the ad in July, they just spent $50,000.
So you are training the algorithm.
Yes. You are telling it to look beyond the clickers, to find behavioral patterns that match actual buyers.
That makes the algorithm work for your bottom line, not just your traffic goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Is there a similar trap when it comes to the keywords you are bidding on?
Oh, absolutely there is. You have to physically separate your brand spend from your non-brand spend in your reporting.
Break that down for me.
Sure. Someone searching for your exact company name already knows who you are. They already have high intent.
Right, they're Googling us specifically.
So the return on ad spend for those brand keywords will always look artificially high.
Because they were probably going to buy anyway.
Yes, exactly. Non-brand keywords, on the other hand, these are general industry terms where people are just searching for a solution. Those are much harder to convert.
But they're crucial, right?
They're essential, because that is how you capture new market share.
So if you lump them together.
If you lump brand and non-brand together in one giant report, the easy brand conversions hide the poor performance of your non-brand campaigns.
Wow. It masks what is actually driving new growth.
It does. It gives you a completely false sense of security.
Which, I guess, brings us to the leads themselves. We've talked about capturing the traffic and training the algorithms.
Yeah.
Now we have to confront the lead gen illusion.
The illusion, yes.
Because, as that 79% failure rate showed us at the very top of the show, not all leads are created equal.
Not even close. The illusion happens when a team hits their MQL target for the month, right? The marketing department celebrates.
Popping the champagne again.
But the sales pipeline stays completely flat. To fix this, a revenue framework requires you to score your leads based on intent rather than just tallying up activity.
Walk me through the mechanical difference between activity and intent.
Sure.
If a prospect downloads, say, 3 different highly technical white papers from my website, most marketing teams would score that lead very high and immediately send it to sales.
Oh, yeah. And sales will likely reject it.
Why?
Because downloading white papers is just activity. It signifies research. It does not signify they have a budget or a timeline.
That makes sense. They're just browsing.
Compare that to a lead who clicks a button to book a personalized product demo.
Okay, yeah.
Booking a demo is a clear signal of intent. A revenue marketing framework heavily weighs these high-intent signals that historically correlate with closed deals rather than just giving points for reading a blog post.
And when those high-intent leads actually turn into closed deals, we hit the attribution puzzle.
The dreaded attribution puzzle.
Right. Who actually gets the credit for the revenue? We briefly touched on marketing sourced versus marketing influenced revenue earlier.
Let's define those really quickly. Sourced means marketing found the person completely from scratch.
Okay.
Influenced means, well, maybe the sales team cold called them, but the prospect attended a marketing webinar before they finally signed the contract.
Both are definitely valuable, but how do we slice the pie when reporting to the CFO?
This is where attribution models come in. And I'll warn you, the standard models are notoriously flawed.
Like first touch attribution.
Yeah. First touch attribution gives 100% of the credit to the very first thing the prospect clicked.
Which massively overcredits top of funnel channels like social media.
Exactly. On the flip side, you have last touch attribution that gives all the credit to the final interaction before the sale, maybe a branded Google search.
But that completely ignores the 6 months of SEO and content marketing that educated the buyer along the way.
It ignores all the heavy lifting.
So what model actually makes sense for a complex B2B buying journey?
A W-shaped multi-touch attribution model.
W-shaped.
Picture the letter W. It has 3 distinct peaks.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
This model distributes the credit across the entire journey, but it heavily weights 3 critical milestones. The first touch, the lead creation, and the opportunity creation.
Okay, I understand the first touch. That's the introduction.
Yeah.
And the lead creation is the handshake, getting their email address.
Exactly.
But why does opportunity creation get one of those heavy peaks?
Because opportunity creation proves that the sales team looked at the lead, qualified their budget, and officially accepted it.
Ah, so it passed the sniff test.
Right. It is the moment the lead becomes real money in the pipeline. Typically, a W-shaped model gives 30% of the revenue credit to the first touch, 30% to lead creation, and 30% to opportunity creation.
And what about the remaining 10%?
That last 10% is just sprinkled across the minor interactions in between.
So it mathematically rewards the channels that drive the most meaningful milestones. That's really smart.
It is, but you know, even with a sophisticated mathematical model, there's a reality check here. Perfect attribution is essentially a myth.
A myth?
Yeah. We can track clicks and form fills, but we can't track someone asking their colleague for a recommendation at a coffee shop.
Or like sharing a link in a private company Slack channel.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is that the framework explicitly gives you permission to let go of the obsession with perfect tracking.
Which is probably a relief for a lot of marketers.
Oh, huge relief. That untrackable word of mouth is what we call dark social. Because you can't track it digitally, you supplement your CRM data with self-reported attribution.
Self-reported, like a survey.
Kind of. You simply add a required text field to your high-intent forms asking, how did you hear about us?
So instead of trying to digitally spy on every conversation, you just ask them.
You just ask.
So chasing perfect attribution is essentially like trying to track the trajectory of every single raindrop in a thunderstorm, rather than just measuring the water level in the rain barrel.
That is exactly it. I love that analogy. You do not need to know the physics of every raindrop to know if you have enough water to survive the month.
Right.
The goal of an attribution model is not scientific perfection. The goal is to establish a defensible, consistent baseline.
You just need a reliable way to measure the barrel so that leadership can make informed investment decisions year over year.
Exactly. Consistency over perfection.
Well, that transition from theory to practice is really where the rubber meets the road. How do you actually build this rain barrel?
It takes work.
Socopic Studios lays out a very concrete 5-step playbook for applying this framework while outlining the psychological and operational landmines to avoid. Let's take these one by one.
Perfect. Step one is the bedrock. Marketing and sales absolutely must agree on what a sales qualified lead or SQL looks like.
Getting sales and marketing to agree on the definition of a good lead is, it's a tale as old as time.
No, it's a legendary rivalry.
Sales usually says the leads are garbage, and marketing says sales is too lazy to close them. From a mechanical standpoint, what actually breaks inside the company if they skip this alignment step?
The entire feedback loop we just built collapses.
Really?
Yeah. Remember the offline conversion tracking? Feeding your CRM data back to Google's algorithm?
Yeah, we talked about that.
If marketing defines a qualified lead as anyone who downloads a white paper, but sales defines it as a VP with a $50,000 budget, your data is corrupted from day one.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Marketing passes the white paper downloader to the CRM. The CRM pings Google and says, success.
And then Google thinks that's what you want.
Right. Google then spends your remaining budget finding more people who like free white papers. You have basically built a highly efficient machine for generating unqualified leads.
Wow. You are automating your own failure because the definitions don't match.
Exactly. You have to agree. Step two is establishing closed loop reporting.
Okay, what does that entail?
This means ensuring your marketing automation software and your CRM are physically integrated. When a deal closes, the revenue number must flow backward through the system to the original marketing source.
So no spreadsheets.
There can be no manual data entry gaps. It has to be automated.
Which leads right into step three. Choose your attribution model, like that W-shaped model we explored, and stick to it.
Yes, stick to it. Consistency is way more important than jumping to a new model every time a new tracking tool hits the market.
Okay, step four. This one requires a massive psychological shift for the team, doesn't it?
It really does. You have to transition your channel goals from activity to revenue.
So no more celebrating page views.
Exactly. You have to stop evaluating your content team solely on page views and start evaluating them on pipeline created.
That changes the whole vibe of the office?
It does, because when a team's performance is measured on business outcomes, their daily priorities naturally change. They stop creating clickbait and start creating content that converts.
And step five brings us back to where we started this entire conversation, the boardroom.
The dreaded boardroom.
You have to build a dashboard that actually speaks the language of leadership. You cannot walk into a meeting with the CFO talking about a 20% increase in Twitter impressions.
They will laugh you out of the room.
You need to talk about CAC, customer acquisition cost.
Right. And just to clarify the mechanics of CAC, you calculate that by taking your total marketing and sales expenses over a period and dividing it by the number of actual new customers you acquired.
It shows exactly how much it costs the business to buy a new customer.
Precisely.
You pair that with ROI, return on investment, and your marketing-sourced pipeline. You are essentially translating marketing into finance.
You're speaking their language.
Yeah.
And as you implement these five steps, there are a few severe pitfalls to avoid.
Like what?
Do not rely heavily on last-touch attribution because you will inevitably starve your long-term educational channels like SEO.
Right, because they don't get the credit.
Exactly. Mm. And do not fall into the trap of optimizing for cheap leads that inflate your MQL numbers but ghost your sales team.
$40 college students.
Yep. And above all, use your activity metrics, your traffic, your bounce rates as internal diagnostic tools for your team. Keep them out of the executive summary.
Keep them off the main dashboard. It is a profound paradigm shift. moving from demand generation to revenue marketing isn't just an administrative exercise in, you know, better spreadsheet formatting.
No, not at all.
It is fundamentally about changing how the entire business values marketing. It moves marketing away from being viewed as an unpredictable cost center and establishes it as a predictable, measurable revenue engine.
It changes the entire operational dynamic. But, you know, if we look toward the horizon, this framework actually raises a very challenging question.
Oh.
Yeah. We talked about dark social and how perfect tracking is a myth.
Right. The rain barrel.
The reality is that buyers are increasingly retreating into untrackable spaces.
You mean like private Discord servers or encrypted WhatsApp chats?
Yes. And with the rise of AI-generated summaries, prospects are making purchasing decisions without ever clicking a link or visiting your website to be tracked by a UTM code.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about the AI aspect.
Right. If buyers rely entirely on these invisible communities and untrackable AI agents, how will you adapt your revenue marketing strategy when those clear digital footprints just disappear entirely?
That is a terrifying thought for a marketer.
Are we moving toward an era where the digital guestbook becomes obsolete and word of mouth becomes the only revenue metric that actually matters?
That is definitely something to chew on. Thank you all so much for joining us on this deep dive into the revenue marketing framework.
It's been a great conversation.
Hopefully, you now have the tools, the analogies, and the metrics to completely change the conversation in your next leadership meeting. Take these insights, align your teams, and go prove the undeniable value of your pipeline. We will catch you on the next deep dive.